It's Thursday, March 28th, 2013, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to Episode 7, Do the Mario. Running time for this episode is 40 minutes.
Hi, I'm Tyler.
I'm Jeremy. Welcome to Last Time on Video Games.
So, hey, we have a website now. This is apparently the first episode we've recorded since we launched the website.
Well, we had the website before. There was just nothing on it.
That is true. No, I had a post saying there will be eventually stuff on it.
That space intentionally left blank. Do not mark on this page.
Pardon our mess.
We have 4 episodes up as of this recording.
Yeah, and we have a couple more that we're going to post before posting this one. So, what? How many do we have left before this one?
There are only 2 left before this episode goes up. One on Double Dragon, and one on Final Fantasy. I guess I can spoil it because you've already listened to it in the past. Because we're magic like that.
We're recording in the future, in the past. It's all wibbly wobbly.
Yeah, we recorded a bunch of episodes before we were brave enough to publish one.
Brave enough or ambitious enough?
That combination of the two. You had to finish that theme song.
Yep, which I'm kind of surprised. Out of all the ones that I tried, that was the one that we went with. I might have to get ambitious later and try a slightly less terrible one.
So, yeah, we have a website. You can check it out at lasttimeonvideogames.com if you found us somewhere else. And please, leave a comment. We're very eager to see what you have to say, see if anyone's out there listening.
Yeah, pretty much the only people who have commented so far are people we actually know.
And your dad.
Yeah, and who commented on the wrong post. I don't even know how we did that.
So, yeah, leave us a comment or shoot us an email, lasttimeonvideogames@lt... No, it's not that, is it?
It's LTOVG at lasttimeonvideogames.com. Or Jeremy, or Tyler, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And that's G-E-R-E-M-Y, because my parents were crazy, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
That's a full address, by the way.
We're also on iTunes now.
Yeah, we are. We have been for a while. Took a little while for it to actually show up, but...
So if you want to help the show out, leave us a review there, because the way iTunes hierarchy works is completely based on reviews.
Really?
Yeah, it's really dumb from what everyone has said. It has nothing to do with downloads. It's all about the reviews you get. So if you want to help us out, review there. It'd be very shiny.
It would. Maybe I should go review us.
That seems like cheating to me. I didn't review us. We have 0 reviews right now.
Oh, I was actually going to check that right before you got here.
I haven't checked in about a week.
So, here we are, and this is, what, going to be our 7th published episode?
4 plus 2 plus 1 is 7.
Yeah! I feel like this is a milestone. I don't know why, but...
10 episodes is a milestone. We can do something special, like play... You know, we live in Colorado. I think we could legally play a video game high.
I'll bring the Cheetos.
But you know what we won't do? Play any more Final Fantasy.
Indeed. So we said last week that we may or may not continue playing Final Fantasy, but we both did, and neither of us thought of anything to say about it.
We both did. I played for like 20 minutes, finished the dungeon I was in, turned in my quest, and was like, yeah, I can't stand these slow fights anymore. I want to finish this game. The spells are great, the mechanics are great, but I can't bring myself to do it.
So that said, we like the game, we don't like certain parts of the game. So go play the PS1 version or something.
Yeah, play the PS1 or Game Boy version and tell me if the fights are sped up at all. So maybe I can track that down and play it that way. So, in lieu of Final Fantasy, what have you been playing, Tyler, over these 3 weeks we've been on hiatus, releasing episodes and not recording them?
Not that it really makes any difference to them, but let's see here. I've played Metroid again. I've played a lot of Star Fox. I've done Disgaea. I finished Skyward Sword recently.
This is your 3rd playthrough of Skyward Sword?
Actually, only my 2nd. What else? I've started playing Pokemon Rumble with Alex again, because that's a thing. I don't know, I feel like there's a... Oh, yeah, I started playing Dragon Warrior 3, because I remember you talking about that while we were playing Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that's the first Game Boy game I had that wasn't a Pokemon game, so I'm curious about what you think about it.
So far, it's okay. I find my engagement in it is not as high as I thought it would be.
But... You don't like killing metal slimes?
I haven't even gotten that far. I'm killing, like, regular slimes. I just got Anteater Metal. So, I do really love the
I forgot about the metals until you just said that. I have to go find that and play it again, I think. I have to play it on Game Boy Color, because my brother stole my Game Boy Advance.
It's a fun game. I've seen a lot of hate for it, though, and everyone's like, you should go play the Super Nintendo version because it's way better, yo.
Well, I think that's just nostalgia talking.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for being able to take a game with you.
Yeah, so. It's nice.
What awesome games have you been playing?
Well, I'm playing yet more League of Legends. I'm in week 6 of my League of Legends obsession. It's a little bit dying down. I got sick and couldn't really play, but I watched some pro games instead, so I don't know if that counts as an actual break. And I've thrown $40 at a free game, so that's pretty good retention for them.
So that speaks a lot to their marketing.
Well,
maybe not their marketing, but their payment style?
I really, really like their free-to-play model, but I've been buying stuff that's free, what I usually don't do. They've had two character bundles that, you know, you can unlock the characters slowly, or you can buy these two bundles, and there's still like 100 characters I don't have. But I bought the two bundles to speed up my slow unlocking of all the characters, which is pretty nice. Speaking of free games, I am back in the Kingdom of Loathing.
Which is an awesome game.
If you've never played Kingdom of Loathing, kingdomofloathing.com, check it out, really. It's a free browser-based sort of MMO.
Sort of also a text adventure, but not really.
Well, yeah, it's a stick figure art with text graphics. It's humor-based. It's an MMO in that there's a community and a chat room, and you can sell your items to other players. But it's really more like a classical RPG. You choose one of 6 classes, and there are 13 quests. And the gimmick of the game is once you complete it, you do a new game plus, but with one of the class's skills carrying over permanently. So you gain power like that. It's a ton of fun.
There are lots of terrible puns. So if bad puns are your thing, then this game is for you.
Also some genre humor. And they just unleashed their new challenge path, the Avatar of Jarlsberg, where you play a neurotic wizard who won't eat or drink anything he didn't make himself. Who doesn't understand booze. His best drink is the Leroy, which is rum with French fries in it. And he's got the vodka dog, which is a hot dog bun with vodka poured in.
Oh, that sounds like something I'd enjoy.
It's amazing. So, that's really fun. Kingdom of Loathing, check it out.
You said Minecraft, right?
Yeah. I've been playing Minecraft with my brother when he has a spare moment. I was trying to think of a good story to tell from there, but there's not really one. I fell in lava and it sucked.
I think that's the story of Minecraft, is you fall in lava and it sucks.
He won't mine any frickin' cobblestone for me for my sweet castle wall around our house. No, I need to mine the lapis lazuli and the iron. I can't mine this cobblestone.
Ed actually came up with an infinite cobblestone generator.
Yeah, I've seen those with water and lava.
Yeah. He also used it to build a town around our wall, but in the server we were playing on in there, my computer could not handle the complex circuitry, and the game actually basically slowed to a stop for me when I was in the vicinity of the generator, so...
Yeah, back in the day when you didn't have powered rails, you had to have minecart setups. I had a thing like that where it would slow down when I got near my ever-moving minecarts. And I don't use cobblestone for my wall. I'm not a petty crook. I have nice stone bricks.
I feel too cheap to use the million coal that I have to actually make stone out of it, so I just stockpile all my fuel and make everything out of cobblestone.
See, I won't use an iron pickaxe for anything that doesn't require an iron pickaxe, but I'm not so cheap that I won't use my 30,000 coal for stuff.
So that's funny, because after I get more than 10 iron, I always use iron pickaxes. I never use stone pickaxes anymore.
It's probably faster and better. And there's also a mystery game I think I'll talk about next week, but I have to show this to Tyler. Its majesty can't be explained or spoken, so that'll be next week, gentle listeners. Look forward to it.
I have no idea what it is yet, but he sent me a text yesterday raving about it, and then decided that it was better to try to show it to me in person, so...
I've also been playing Pokemon Sapphire again, because our friend Zach was talking about his adventures in Emerald. I'm only playing it on the train, so I'm not very far, but I've resolved to use only Pokemon I've never used before.
Really?
Yeah, so starting with Treecko, and I don't know who I'm going to use to serve, maybe a Tentacruel. Haven't really decided my team out at all, I'm just going to, you know, say, hey, I've never used that before, it's cool, and go that way.
There's a lot to be said for that. I think especially we, I don't know, grammar, tend to think way too much about Pokemon. I don't know, I'm way into making competitive teams, so in the random playthroughs, I try to make a ridiculously competitive team.
So do I. Usually the moveset isn't as competitive, because you need some HM moves and some extra PP for going around without Ethers, but I'm the same way. And I love me some Gyarados and some Snorlax. I fall into a lot of ruts. My teams tend to be pretty much the same, so I decided to give this a try. And last but not least, tying into the assignment, after I finish that, I have a Wii U, as I've said on this before, and I bought New Super Mario Bros. U, and played it a little bit with some friends when I first got it, but I've sort of kept it on the shelf, and I decided to start playing through that. It's sort of the last on that list of games I'm playing, so I'm not very far. I'm three worlds in, but it's pretty good. It's really easy without Zach throwing me into chasms. And I'm not like you where I never die, but my lives are going up, not down. It's just a slow, steady. Usually I'll find a level where I keep dying, but there's also an extra life there, so I'm staying in stasis.
Maintaining the status quo. That's the way Mario games.
There was actually one level where I was getting two lives every time I ran it, but I couldn't beat it, so I was crawling up while I was stuck on it for a while.
That's actually a trend I've noticed in Mario games. I think that started with Super Mario World. We'll get there when we get there, but...
Well, anything else before we start talking about the assignment?
No, not really. I don't know if we want to start with that part of the assignment, but...
Your hair looks red and not pink now.
Oh, yeah, no, that's been... Oh, I guess... Yeah, I re-dyed it a while ago, so
yeah,
it's much more red.
I haven't seen you in forever.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. It's been, like, what, a month now?
Almost. Not quite. I think closer to 3 weeks, but it's been a while. There's a new Dragon Ball Z movie coming out in Japan, so they've partnered with KFC, so there are KFC Dragon Ball Z ads all over the internet.
So, Kentucky Fried Icarus?
No, it's Goku saying chicken is good and powerful. With a bucket of, you know, KFC chicken that he's eating. Super Mario!
Yeah, so back on to the subject. Since we didn't do Final Fantasy again, we did the original Super Mario Brothers this week.
Which came after Donkey Kong and Mario Bros.
Oh yeah, I forgot about actual Mario Bros. That was, so the first time I ever played this game, I had the original cart. The time I remember playing it the most was on Super Mario All-Stars, and they had a remake of the original Super, or just regular Mario Bros. On it.
Yeah, I played it on the, Super Mario Bros. 2, the Game Boy Advance port. I think they call it Super Mario Advance. Had a Mario Bros. Minigame in it, and that's where I first played it. And I played it in an arcade.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen it in an arcade.
The Dave and Buster's off of Colorado, I think, has an arcade, and they've got a Mario Bros. Donkey Kong machine.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. They've also got Battle Pac-Man.
Battle Pac-Man?
Blitz 1995, and nothing else that is good.
Right.
Super Mario Bros.
Yeah, which is different than the other two games that we mentioned previously.
This is the first game I ever played. It's weird playing it without the... You had the beginning Super Mario Bros. Duck Hunt, and you had to choose one. It's just a start screen this time on the virtual console.
No, I played an NES version through not an emulator because emulating is bad, kids. That seems to be a recurring thing I say, but...
It's because you feel guilty, and you should.
No.
You're going to get, like, slain in an ironic way in a horror movie by some sort of emulation monster.
They published the game 26 years ago. I don't feel that bad.
Yeah, and they've already made all the money on it.
They started, or I guess rebuilt their company off of it.
Yeah, pretty much. And you can kind of see why. I think this is a great game.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty solid. It didn't control as... I guess it was floatier than I remember it. It wasn't a problem, but it took me a little while to get used to the controls again because I don't know, I guess I've been playing too much Meat Boy or something.
With one exception, which, trust me, we'll get to. The controls were really, really tight, I thought. There were a few times where I knew I jumped on an enemy, and I got hit and died for it. But there were way more times where I totally should have died, and it gave me the hit. So, I'll take it.
Now, there are definitely... actually, one of my favorite things to do in this game is there are groups of platforms that are only one block high, and you can slide underneath of them if you're big.
Yeah, yeah.
That's inexplicably one of my favorite things to do in Mario.
It's fun. So. I love, you know, the one... not pixel, but one Mario-length gaps that you can just run over. I like running over those, like, on the Flash. Sweet.
There's... The end of one of the levels is specifically made for you to do that.
Yeah, if somehow you've never played Super Mario Bros., it's like Mega Man without the shooting.
One of the things I've heard is that we don't explain the games well enough for games that people... I think we started getting better at that, but people were confused to no end about ActRaiser.
I explained the hell out of Metroid. I feel like we over-explained that. But yeah. You go right, you can only go right once you've scrolled past the screen, you can't go back, the screen scrolls with you, you have to get to the end of the level. Down goes into some secrets and crouches, but that's it. A's jump, B lets you run, and that's the game. There are two power-ups, a mushroom that makes you bigger, when you're big you can take two hits instead of one, and a fire flower, which you can only get when you're already big.
And
that
the
lets
third
one shoot fireballs. Oh, and there's invincibility.
Yes, there is.
I forgot about that, so take it away.
The star that has made a recurrence in every Mario game since, I guess also mushrooms have. The fire flower got dropped.
The mushroom isn't in Super Mario 64.
You get one-up mushrooms, though.
Oh, yeah.
True. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, the mushroom as a power-up eventually faded, but then came back and then faded again. Oh, no. Whatever. But there's the star has been a recurring theme in all Mario games forever. In this one, in particular, it makes you invincible and plays the sweet invincibility music. Insert invincibility music here.
Yep. There are, we decide, 5 enemies plus 2 water enemies that suck.
Well, you encounter sheeps on land once.
Oh, yeah. Twice, actually.
And there are, like, different colors of sheeps that behave slightly differently, but
that doesn't count.
We're going to ignore those. So, what? There are Koopas.
Yeah. Koopas, they have shells. You jump on them, and they hide in their shell, and then you can kick their shell at enemies or yourself.
Buzzy beetles, which are basically Koopas, but not.
Koopas that are immune to fireballs.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
That's their difference.
There are Goombas.
Which are the easiest enemy. You can just jump on them.
And then they die.
Yeah, they're gone. Bullet bills, which shoot at you out of cannons and are sweet. I wonder if bullet bills are the inspiration for bullet hell games. I don't know that they are, but the one level where it says all bullet bills and you're dodging them all, that's a sweet level.
That is a sweet level. That's one of the ones that I remember the most. I
didn't remember it at all, so it was a treat.
I think Bullet Hills actually came before Mario, though.
Maybe.
Because I remember a game called, like, Phoenix or something, Galaga-esque games.
Yeah.
Were around before then on arcade machines. But,
true.
So yeah, Bullet Bills. And then the water enemies are...
Cheep-cheep. They're a little fish. They just swim at you, basically. And bloopers, which follow you around and have this...
kind of erratic move pattern, yeah, where they go down and then up.
I wouldn't say erratic, because it's easy to predict where they're going to go, but it is...
I have a hard time. Sometimes it seems like they're following me, and sometimes it seems like they're oblivious to me.
They do follow you. They won't. If you're on the bottom level of something, they can't go there. They can't hit you if you're standing on the ground.
Oh, well. And then there's also the boss fight, which gets harder and harder as you go on.
Yeah, there are 8 worlds. Each of them are divided into 4 stages, and the 4th stage of every world is a castle, at the end of which you fight Bowser.
And Bowser looks kind of goofy in this game, I'm not going to lie.
Everything looks kind of goofy in this game.
Not the Goombas.
Mario's sweet overalls.
So, how you defeat Bowser is either toss a lot of fireballs at him, if you happen to have a Fire Flower upgrade.
Or get past him and grab the axe, cut down the bridge he's standing on, and send him into lava.
So, what provides challenge to this is, each time you fight Bowser, he has slightly more tricks up his sleeve. The first time you fight him, he basically just moves, but does he even throw anything at that point?
He jumps up and down, which makes it harder to jump over him or get under him, and he shoots fireballs.
Okay, and then eventually he starts throwing hammers? Or
yeah, they're hammers. They look like axes, but the same thing Hammer Bros throw. So
that's what I
thought. Hammers.
Oh yeah, we forgot about the Hammer Bros.
Oh yeah, they're probably the strongest enemy. They always come in twos. They jump up and down on platforms, which makes them harder to go under or over, and they throw little hammers in an arc at you.
Yeah, and the number of hammers they throw seems to be kind of random. I think it's within a range.
I think it's between, like, 3 and 8.
So they throw some number of hammers at you, and then stop for a second, and then throw some more. And in that second, you can run in between the hail of hammers.
Yeah. So Bowser starts throwing hammers later, and then they start making it harder to jump over him by putting some blocks there.
Yeah, I remember specifically there's one that has a bunch of blocks right over you, but there's also a little moving platform.
Yeah,
that you can get
6.
However, if Bowser happens to be jumping, he actually goes high enough that he hits you when you're on the platform. So
you have to jump on the platform.
Weird. Timing! It's like it's a platforming game or something.
What I really liked about this game is it's simple enough that you can speed through it. And that means both, you know, literally in the speedrun way like we talked about Metroid, and I just mean the individual levels. You can just, you know, crank through just dodging the enemies. And that's the best way to really to deal with them. Don't try to fight them, just try to get past them. Which I actually found really fun, even though games like Mega Man and Castlevania, I've really liked because it adds that fighting element that Mario lacked. But going back to the classic, it's great.
Mario games, especially Mario 3, are what first, I guess, habituated me to running through games. I've noticed this a lot, especially since Alex watches me play games. She will notice things on screen that I am completely oblivious to because I kind of let my eyes lose focus on things and look specifically for movement or drastic changes in the environment. So the way I tend to play platformers is by just vaguely seeing things, I guess, seeing the motion. I don't know, I tend to use my peripheral vision more when playing games and just react immediately to new things.
I feel like I play shooters that way, but I've really taken the screen in a platformer, I feel.
So I think I do the opposite. I think I try to take in too much detail in shooters, which is why Zach always kills my ass.
Well, that's just part of playing a shooter. Zach kills you.
Even if you're not playing with Zach.
Seriously, I didn't know Halo 3 had drop-in play from your friends in custom matchmaking online. So it was literally me and my brothers were playing Halo 3, and Zach just came in and started killing us.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So the one exception to this is there are 3 or 4 stages that are water stages. And they suck so much.
When's the first time you get to one? Is it the third level?
It's World 2, Level 2.
Okay. So, fairly early on, you're introduced to the water mechanic, which is, you're constantly sinking, and then when you jump, you move up a slight amount.
Here's what I'll agree with you, the controls are floaty. And I'm playing New Mario Bros. U, I still think the water controls are floaty in there. The controls are just so imprecise that getting through the tight spaces of enemies and dodging bloopers is so hard.
And it's one of the things I feel everyone hates water levels, because they change the controls that you're used to up to that point and say, oh, by the way, for one-off thing, you get to play like this, and it's completely different, and then you go back to playing normally. And I think the intention was to break up the monotony, but it's more irksome than, I guess, refreshing.
One of the big problems in Super Mario Bros. Water levels, so they fixed by Mario Wii U, and I don't know which place along they fixed this. There are no power-ups in the water levels, ever. If you get hit, there's not even a hope of recovering, like there is in even the later levels of the normal levels.
I know Super Mario World fixed that, but that was quite a bit later.
Well, that's Super Mario Bros. 4, so.
Yeah.
3 games later. I don't remember if 3 had them or not. I don't even remember water worlds in 3. You could get the frog suit, I know, but I thought you had...
Yeah, there were entire water levels. I don't know if 2 had any, though, but 2 wasn't really a Mario game.
Yeah.
Have we touched on that yet? Recording?
What?
That 2 wasn't really a Mario game?
No, we haven't. We haven't talked about anyone but this one.
Well, that makes a certain amount of sense, given the subject matter of this episode, but... So, yeah, the second Super Mario Brothers was actually another game, and Nintendo didn't think it would sell well enough in America unless it had Mario, so now it's a Mario game.
Yeah, I feel like this is fairly well-known trivia. In fact, I recently read an article by Chris Sims trying to fit in the Mario continuity, and he's like, it's well-known that Mario 2 is not a game, but it really works with the theme of it being a dream and controlling differently. And it's even really cool thematically that Luigi jumps higher, because that means Mario seems as even better at the main thing Mario does than he is.
Which is pretty awesome. Although, it introduced Shy Guys, which are one of my favorite Mario things, so...
Well, the best part about that article, go read it on comicsalliance.com, and he's like, and Mario 3 is clearly a play based on Mario 1. I mean, you know, you can just see the directors listening to the story, and then I went to another castle, and she wasn't there. And like, you know what this needs? Some airships.
Well, and it's set on the stage thing.
Yeah, that's the main reason for the theory.
It's not quite as obvious a motif as, say, Paper Mario, but...
Yeah.
Where you're obviously on a stage in the...
or a storybook.
Things are interacting with the audience.
Paper Mario is a great game. It's probably going to be a while before we get to that, because we've both played it recently. But if you've never played Paper Mario, the N64 version, $10 on the Virtual Console, well spent.
Indeed. And also Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door, which I feel is an even better game than the original Paper Mario.
Yeah, it's for the GameCube, so it's a bit harder to track down, but I agree, it's a good one. So anyway, I think we're talking about the later Mario games, because that's the best context to continue speaking about this one in. I mean, this game is so simple, like we said, it's beautiful in its simplicity.
It is. There are a couple memorable levels where they started messing things up. Like, I can't remember if you said this while we were recording, but there are... You can run over one gap spaces if you're running, which is pretty neat, and there's a part of a level base off of that. There's a part of a level base off of bullet bills everywhere, which is fun.
The game is simple, and that's great. I think it's a great bridge between arcade games that are all simple and console games, as we've come to know them, that can be more complex and have more interesting rules.
It's part of what saved Nintendo as a company during the Great Game Drought.
Yes, the dark age of gaming.
Are we ready to talk about secrets?
Yeah, I think I want to talk to these in relation to the way they are in later Mario games, though, and later games. I think most people know you can find warp pipes in Mario games. There is 3 major hubs of them, I guess 2 major hubs, and then a third spot with 1. The first one is in the really obvious spot at the end of level 2, where instead of going to the end, you just get on this platform that goes up a little higher and go past them, and that lets you skip to world 2, 3, or 4. Then on World 4-2, there are 2 warp zones. One's in the same spot symmetrically as the one in World 1-2, but it only goes to level 5. There's another one that you need to find a beanstalk and climb up to that goes to 6, 7, and 8.
So in addition to the warp pipes, there are also beanstalks, which take you to cloud areas, and random pipes you can go down, which take you to underground areas. Both are generally filled with coins to help you get more lives, which you actually need in this game.
Yeah, there are not many lives. I know that's a thing about you. You love having tons of lives in Mario games.
Well, it's more that I feel that I did something wrong just because I'm so habituated to ending a Mario game with 99 lives.
But that's not an option here. I think there are maybe like 12 lives total to find in the game.
Nope. I ended the game with 2 lives, and I almost got a game over in World 7. I think I was stuck on 7-2 for like 4 or 5 lives.
That was a hard one, I remember.
There are secrets in Mario. They're not wonderful, but...
I disagree. The warp pipes in particular I find really interesting. And what we didn't talk about, the clouds and the pipe and the underground areas, they let you skip most of that stage if you go in them, which is huge. You'd never see that in a secret in a Mario game today.
There's actually one that takes you backwards.
I didn't know that.
But it's one with a bunch of piranha plants. Oh, hey, we didn't touch on piranha plants. They come out of pipes.
And they hurt you.
They don't shoot fireballs yet. That happens later.
Yeah, but most secrets in Mario games today is just an area with some coins or a big coin. And you get the secret for the sake of getting the secret. They usually let you out either behind where you started or very shortly in front of.
Or in the exact same spot.
Yes, usually not even an entire screen in the Wii U one. And I think this game lets you find secrets that let you skip a huge part of the game. And the warp pipes especially, a huge portion of the game. And I think that's really interesting. It makes those secrets actually really valuable.
I think it adds to the replayability, because you never find the same collection of secrets twice, so you're always finding new parts of levels that you haven't played before. Additionally, as you said earlier, it's really easy to blow through levels in this game, and I think adding those level-skipping bits add to that feeling of running frantically through the levels.
Yeah, and I want to compare this game to another game about frantically running, allegedly, Sonic the Hedgehog. Well, like Sonic the Hedgehog, this game has no continues, and I bitch to no end about Sonic not having continues. But I don't mind in this game. I think part of that is I just like this game more. It's more fun. I think it's better.
I think the individual levels go much faster, too, whereas it feels like you're taking forever in Sonic to even finish the ones where you're running a lot.
And in this one, you can get to any level in 4 levels. There's a maximum of 7 levels, if you know all the secrets, that you have to do to get to any stage. And 4 of them I had memorized like back of my hand by the time I was done. Because you can do World 1-1, get through that, and there's a warp pipe there that lets you skip most of it. World 1-2, warp level 4. World 4-1, which is this one where Lakitu, we forgot about those too.
Oh yeah, I forgot, on the spunny things they throw, which are their own enemy.
You just have to, it's just a level where you're running with a Lakitu, so that's pretty easy. And then 4-2 has the last warp zone, so you can get to any world from there.
Okay, so playing this entire game, it took me maybe 3-4 hours?
That seems about right for me. I think mine was closer to 5 or 6, but I was playing when I was tired and couldn't sleep.
But playing Sonic, I think, was probably a good 2 to 3 hours longer than that for me.
Seems the same with me.
But Sonic has substantially fewer levels, and I'm wondering, actually, if part of my problem with Sonic is that the levels themselves are a little too long for that type of platformer.
Do you think it's a reward structure problem, where you're not finishing levels fast enough, you're not accomplishing goals fast enough?
I think it might be, now that I'm thinking about it. This just occurred to me as we were talking about the level pacing for Mario, but I think part of why Mario is so fun is you can beat levels really quickly.
So even though you can't go as fast as Sonic, it feels like you're progressing much faster. That's interesting. Right. I hadn't thought about it either. I think it has some merit.
I'm thinking if each of the levels in Sonic was maybe a half to a third as long as it was, I might have enjoyed it more.
See, even the worlds in Mario Wii U aren't that much longer than the worlds in this. They're a lot more complicated, and they're a little longer, but they're still pretty quick. And I'd never thought about that before. Mario levels are pretty quick. Even in the 64 one, where there's these, for the time, huge expanses, you have 6 different goals in there, which make them feel much quicker.
Indeed. Oh, I love Mario 64. That's a thing for later, but...
that's from when we're depressed and we want to shotgun ourselves. We can bring out Mario 64.
You can beat that game a lot faster than I can. Yeah. I think you're much better 3D platformers than I am.
Well, I've studied Mario 64.
Fair enough.
Might be fun to play Banjo-Kazooie and see which of us finishes that faster, because I'm not as familiar with that.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with it either. I have played it in the past year, though.
I was going to say, I played it 2 years ago, I think, now, whenever I noticed they were both on Xbox Live Arcade.
I want to do Banjo-Tooie at some point.
Yeah, that's a fun game, too. It's not as good as Kazooie, but it's got a lot of things for a sequel, then right.
I think that's most of the things about Mario. Is there...
Honestly, yeah. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
I don't know. I didn't mind the fact that Toads kept telling me to go to another castle.
Yeah, I feel like that would be frustrating if I was young and the levels were hard, but as it is...
Well, I just know it has 8 worlds. That's something I expect now, so...
Well, there's that, and when you're blowing through them, it's not annoying at all.
No.
One negative spot, it is pretty quick, like we said. 3 hours seems kind of generous. If you know what you're doing, it's a fast game, and it's only $5, but I can see why Mario 3 sells better.
Using a wide variety of secrets, I can actually beat this game in about 20 minutes. I do love Mario 3, though. It's a much more complex game on a variety of levels. The secrets are much harder to find in general.
I like Super Mario World a lot more. I really like the way that the secrets reward you here, but Mario World has that too with the Yoshis and the clouds.
Indeed. No, Super Mario World is an amazing game. So, yeah, this is a solid start to a solid franchise. Nintendo makes solid games. They follow what I call an iterative development pattern, which is they put out a product and then put out a very similar but slightly better product and keep doing that, and I really don't see a problem with that.
Neither do I. I think we should clarify that statement in a minute. But I want to say this game is simple, and I think it's a testament to how great a simple game can be.
Indeed.
Going back to your point you just said about releasing the same game better and better in better versions, do you think the turnaround time is important? Because I think the fact that a new Call of Duty comes out every year is what kills that.
Yes, I think there was a point where we reach market saturation, where there's just too much of the same thing, especially if it's the exact same franchise. I already had an issue with first-person shooter saturation on the market, and then they're the whole Call of Duty every year thing. It got to a point where even though I like those games, I am sick of them existing.
Yeah.
So
I think even Mario is a little oversaturated at this point, and that's more like a game every 2 or 3 years.
Indeed. I looked at a Zelda timeline or something to that effect recently, and I found that they've been putting out a game every 2 years and 8 months or something in Zelda, so.
Yeah, but a lot of those are DS games I skipped, and I think the anticipation for a new Zelda is great. About 3 years seems like the perfect amount of time to be anticipating.
Honestly, I'm ready for another one. I just played Skyward Sword again, and it was amazing.
Skyward Sword is so good. If you guys haven't played Skyward Sword and you own a Wii, you are doing yourself a disservice.
I think it might actually be my favorite Zelda game now. It trumps, I think, even Ocarina for me, and Majora's Mask.
See, I like Twilight Princess more than Skyward Sword, but I definitely see your argument, because the sword play in that is so fun.
It is, and a lot of people complained about it, but I really didn't have any issues with it.
My only problem with the sword play is I feel like not that they thought it was a crutch, but they're like, this is really cool, let's focus on this, and that a lot of the puzzles were lacking.
Yeah, so a lot of them were not as complex as I have seen.
That, and Twilight Princess had so many things where, like, you've seen the hookshot, but you've never seen this hookshot puzzle, and look at this entirely new way to use the iron boots. And there was none of that in Skyward Sword.
No, Skyward Sword lacked a lot of the new puzzles, and I actually feel like they had a couple things that they were planning on doing, but, like, letting you fly around the islands at night. I think that was part of the original this is entirely me hypothesizing. There's no basis for this whatsoever. But I feel like since they were trying to rush it out for the 25th anniversary, that they came up with a lot of ideas and then had to drop a lot of them to meet the deadline.
Maybe. I love the art style of it. I love the overgrown world. I love the story of it. I love the villain.
My one major complaint with it is that the world map is not really connected. It's three separate areas with a central hub.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I want to be able to explore. And the story pacing is wonkers, bazooka. It's like 3 hours of, okay, you're not going to play your game until you sit through our sweet romance school story. And you're like, oh man, this is awesome. Link is romancing Zelda and fighting Team Rocket. This is the best story possible. While he goes to Hogwarts Ninja Academy for bird riding. My God, it's the best thing. And then they're like, okay, Zelda's been kidnapped. Go play our game for 20 hours and then you can have some more story.
I actually feel like Zelda's story in this game is a story worth telling. You don't really get to see any of it, but I feel like there's stuff happening there that I cared about. This is my favorite representation of Zelda.
Yeah,
we're now talking about Skyward Sword instead of Mario, but
no, I was going to talk about Twilight Princess, but you're right. I think it's because, like we said, we're done. Mario, I think, is, you know, the icon of Nintendo, and I think that works well for them, even if you want to measure them symbolically. This is the first Mario game. It's still something they have on their sleeve, and I think that's to their credit rather than to their shame.
And that's something Zach always, I guess, harangues Nintendo for, is basically putting out the same game.
Well, it's because I harangue him because of all the Call of Duties that come out.
And he complains about them and still buys them, so.
Well, yeah, and I guess I'm not complaining about the Marios they put out and still buying them, so.
I think part of that, though, is he wasn't a Nintendo kid.
That's a lot of it.
He's never really played any of them. He certainly doesn't own any of them, so.
He really likes Fire Emblem, but that's his Nintendo love.
That is true, and I don't think that's actually Nintendo.
It is.
It is?
Yeah.
Really? I thought it was a different company produced it.
Nope.
Oh.
Kirby is actually not Nintendo.
No, that's hell.
Fire Emblem is more Nintendo than Kirby.
Touche. So, yeah. Mario's a good game.
Yeah, it is.
It's fun. It's not Sonic.
I think I rate this at a 5. I think it kicks out Kirby, because I think it's great for me to be able to measure games as good as Super Mario Bros., not as good as Super Mario Bros. Like I think I said before, the one issue I have recommending this is the amount of time you're going to spend on it. It's only $5, which makes me think it's a pretty good deal, but there are a lot of better things you can get for $5 in today's world, even video game-wise. Especially my super secret thing I'm going to mention next week, $1 on Xbox Live Arcade.
You should get it, apparently.
You should.
No, I think I would also, I would actually recommend this game because it's got high replay value, but that same token, I'm pretty sure Super Mario Bros. 3 is the same price.
I was just going to bring that up. And I have it for the same price, as is Lost Levels and Super Mario Bros. 2.
So, and I vastly prefer the next two entries in this series. So.
And for $3 more, you can get Super Mario World.
Which is an amazing game. We're definitely going to talk about that at some point.
Yeah, and for $5 more, Super Mario 64.
Which is also an amazing game, but different.
Yeah.
I consider Super Mario 64 the best 3D platformer.
I think Banjo-Kazooie is better.
You have expressed this opinion. I disagree, but...
I think Banjo-Kazooie took all the lessons from Mario 64, put a nice coat of paint on it, added some shiny rims, put on a spoiler. It's just got everything. Everything is done better, and everything is done to the best point. After that, people were just trying to add more collectibles in. I think...
Donkey Kong 64?
Yeah, I think...
an example.
I think Banjo-Kazooie is the perfect storm of collectibles.
It's definitely a pretty good game. And it's quirky. I you cannot go wrong with quirky humor for me. That's one of the reasons I love Majora's Mask so much.
I think that's one of the things the video game industry right now is missing, is that humor. And one of the reasons why this thing I'm mentioning is the best thing.
So I think a lot of people miss Monkey Island for that reason.
Yeah, I've never played Monkey Island.
Neither have I. And I love adventure games like that, so...
But I played Kingdom of Loathing, which has a whole Monkey Island zone.
The penultimate fantasy airship.
They just re-overhauled that. They didn't do much to it, though. Yeah. It's got new graphics, so better.
Was it Chocobos?
Yes. Yeah, you got a Chocobo.
Oh, Final Fantasy has no Chocobos. I just realized that.
Yeah, I knew that already. Final Fantasy is really standard fantasy compared to later ones.
So I've never actually played actual Final Fantasy II, have you?
No.
I don't think I've ever even seen it.
I think I downloaded it on an emulator when I was a terrible person, but I don't think I actually played it. It's your choice. What do you want to play next?
So what I actually wanted to play was Diddy Kong Racing, and I actually tried to get my sister to come and play Diddy Kong Racing, but it's not on the Virtual Console, and we're trying to quasi-limit ourselves to that for now.
I feel like there was a remake on the DS, but it might have been like with completely different characters or something.
Possibly. I've heard Mario Kart 7 is the spiritual successor to it. So
I think all the Mario Karts are just like Diddy Kong Racing, so...
Yeah.
They are not the same thing, but...
Diddy Kong Racing feels more arcadey, which is hard to do, given what Mario Kart is.
Have you ever played the Mario Kart arcade game? With Pac-Man and the Namco Ghost, because it was made by Bandai?
No, I've heard of it, but...
Oh, okay. It's in Vegas. You're to Vegas to play Mario Kart. They will not bring you free drinks while you play Mario Kart, though.
Oh. Well,
that
that's okay.
Would be the best thing.
I'll just go play Blackjack for 5 minutes and then go back to playing Mario Kart after I get
my
boobs.
It's not a bad plan. I did some of that.
So that said, I've been enjoying action games, and I've been on my not-this-project time, been playing a lot of RPG games. So I think I'm suggesting Gradius, because I've never played it, and I loved R5 as a kid, so...
Okay, Gradius sounds good to me. We can Duke Devlin it up. And Yu-Gi-Oh! Oh, this is great news. This was just revealed today, and then I'll explain that joke.
Okay.
Announced today, Yu-Gi-Oh! HeroClix. Sold.
That's pretty awesome.
I cannot wait to team up the Dark Magician Girl, Jinzo, and Gandalf to fight Batman, Superman, and Spider-Man. Yes, please. Thank you, WizKids. But anyway, Duke Devlin, when he plays actual Duel Monsters instead of his dice game, all his monsters are based on 80s arcade games, and he's got Gradius, awesome. And it makes the ship bigger as it's more powerful, and pretty great. So, you want to do Gradius on that Galaga?
Yep.
Let me make sure Gradius is on the Virtual Console.
I'm
90% sure? Okay. Anywhere else it's available for the listeners?
I suppose we could try to find an NES cart. I didn't really look that hard, so... I know it's available on Wii Virtual Console. It's... maybe somewhere else? It's
Sweet.
Been around a long, or...
Yes, it has been around a long. That's why I wondered if it was on anywhere else for the gentle listeners.
I actually think I found a pen that's got like an integrated little arcade box on it that had it once. So.
Nice. All right, so Gradius next time, guys.
Yeah, go find a pen with it on it.
And leave us a comment if you've got a game you'd like to suggest, if you want to defend Sonic or Harvest Moon. If you've got a copy of Harvest Moon 64 you want to sell Tyler.
Yeah, if you just want to play this game along with us, or any game along with us, and let us know what you thought about it, please do. That's why we have a comment section.
Did you set us up a Twitter?
I do have, yeah, we have a Twitter now, which we kind of promised we would 3 weeks ago, but it's really only been 1 week from your perspective, dear listener. I think it's just LTOVG.
Okay,
at Twitter.
You can tweet that.
There's also, I have a personal Twitter account, which I use pretty much for the purpose of promoting this podcast and occasionally putting witticisms.
All right, so see you next week, listener. Stay classy.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, fully owned by its host.
All the material referenced herein and the games reviewed are property of their respective owners, obviously.
You can find more episodes and other insightful products at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
The sweet theme song's by me.
If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
If you're so enamored with a specific host that you'd like to reach us individually, you can reach me, Tyler, at tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or me, Jeremy, I'm single, ladies, at jeremy@lasttimeonvideogames.com. That's G-E-R-E-M-Y.
With a G. No controllers were harmed in the making of this episode.
Well, fine. Hi, I'm Tyler.
You went first again.
I thought you wanted to keep it.
No, yeah, and then you deleted it. It's no good. I'm Jeremy. Welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the show where Tyler is an idiot, even if I'm an idiot, and just covering by calling him an idiot.
It's fun for the whole family, provided your family is a little bit dysfunctional.
Or entirely us.